The river of God's presence in our lives. If you just heard that last song on Gospel Highlights, Brother Bill, was that a wild song?
He was playing one earlier. I was jumping out of my chair.
I saw you jumping and dancing. I was in here, too. Satan ain't got no power. Yeah.
And I'm sending out a prayer right now because I want him to be jumping out of his chair real quick.
Yeah.
And that's to Dave Wagenford.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be so great. He'll be back quick.
Yes, is he sick?
Oh, he hurt his hip.
He did. Okay,
yes.
And that's the owner of our station here.
Yes, ma'am.
So, all right, we just pray blessings and healing to Dave and that he'll be back to work soon. And, boy, I tell you what, you can't help but be happy when that song was playing, Satan, you don't have any power, because, boy, is that ever true. He tries, but he does not have any power.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. You know, this guy came in over the weekend that I used to work with and then worked at that Christian station, right?
Right.
Well, come to find out, you know, when you get talking about old things, but I'd say, listen, you know, I really don't like talking about the old days, but it seems that the other people that were higher up than me there are really in some bad troubles.
Things happen, but
so,
you know
and
what?
You know what? And I started thinking about this show. And I thought, well, Marsh always talks about, you know, you can't say, ha, 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 you got it now.
Right.
You can't think that way.
No, we just have to thank God for our blessings and praise
pray,
Him.
And pray for them.
And pray for them and speak a blessing to them. Thanks for sharing that, Bill.
Thank you so much.
Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Here we are live in Clearwater, Florida today, as always. And it is such a joy, I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, to be here with you. And this is the week of Christmas and 2010. And some of you may actually listen to this broadcast after it airs, because now you can catch all of our previous radio shows from 2010 and a lot of them from the last 3-4 years on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. So feel free to go and listen and also tell a friend about this ministry. This is Living the Good Life because we believe that God wants us to live in abundance, and we believe that God wants to meet our needs, and He's teaching us how to walk the way He would have us walk. And that's a principle that our engineer Bill just talked about, is speaking blessing to those that hurt us, speaking blessing to those that offend us, and instead of hoping that they get what they deserve type thing. And, you know, that's a good lesson to learn, because God does not want us to do that. He wants us to pray for those who hurt us and pray for those people in our lives that have caused discord. And some of you may have had a lot of serious situations. And in fact, we find at this time of year that a lot of people get kind of depressed during the holidays, and they have a hard time with family gatherings and so forth. And maybe you're one of those. Today, we're going to take you back to the story of Christmas. We're going to talk about Mary. We're going to talk about some real cool things today, and we'll be joined in a little while with one of our regular radio contributors, Carol from Georgia, and so many of you really enjoy her being on the air with us, so we're going to talk to her in a little while, but it's been a great day at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater, Florida, even though the weather's kind of yucky out there, Bill. It's kind of dreary and rainy and misty and cold and I don't know what it is. It's just strange is what it is.
It is really wacky, you know. You would think sunshine.
Yeah, but there's no sunshine, is there?
There's sunshine when Living the Good Life is on the air.
Woo! You are so good. Thank you. All right. So we do bask in the presence. I'll say it again, in the presence of God and in his blessing today. And it's great to be able to share all that with you. So this morning at Beacon of Hope, we had a great crowd. We had a great service. We had a Christmas dinner complete with ham and all kinds of great things after the service. And then we had one of those crazy white elephant Christmas parties, you know, where people wrap up some gift that their dear Aunt Edna gave them, you know, 14 years ago that was really nasty. And, you've never been to one of those? Oh, Engineer Bill, you need to go to one of those because we had some great laughs this afternoon and some great gifts were passed out. And they will probably return to the party next year, I am sure, because they are not gifts you want to, you know, treasure. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, we had a great time at Beacon of Hope's Christmas party this afternoon. And then, of course, I had to rush out the door and let them do the cleanup and get home, take my dogs out and get to the radio station. So we are live and here we are. So we're glad you've joined us today. If you find your Bible and want to follow along with us, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And we are going to be talking about some great things and how the Christmas story applies to your life. And I believe it will be a blessing to you. I don't want to forget this because I did last week, forgot to tell you that at this Christmas season and holiday season, so often people have a lot of prayer needs and they have a lot of things going on and they just wish they could talk to someone or get a prayer request out to a prayer team. We are blessed at Beacon of Hope. We are global ministry. We have a global prayer team and it is headed up by Alice out in Houston. And she'll be on the air with us live at our anniversary show, February 6th, here in the studio, which will be our 200th radio show on the station. And Alice heads up our prayer team, and you can write any prayer request just simply to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Your request will go straight to the prayer warriors. Alice or one of her team will write out a prayer, send it out to the huge prayer team that we have now. If you want to be a part of that prayer team, you can do so by simply writing prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and tell them that you want to be added to the global prayer team and you can be a part of praying for these needs. We have had such a tremendous year. 2010 has been such a year of answered prayer. Now let's talk about the Messiah. Bill, let's do this first song, and it's a Winona song, and I love it. It's the Messiah.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With a sheep from the fields and a star shining over your head. It must have been something seeing three wise men on their knees for a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the must have been something speaking the word of your Father with the promise of life and peace forever. It must have been something walk on the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb, soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the
God, I love that song. Oh, and she does a great job. Wow. Let's talk about the Messiah, and let's look at Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that is the cousin of Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. Right there's a lot of prophecies in from the Old Testament that are fulfilled right there. One of them is that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. That prophecy is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And that says that a virgin will give birth to this son, the Messiah, and be married to a man descended from David. And that is also a prophecy that was fulfilled. Both Mary and the foster father, husband of Mary, Joseph, came from the line of David. One through David's son, Nathan, and that was Mary. And one through David's son, Solomon, and that was Joseph. And so we see that in about verse 27, his name was Joseph. That is the person that Mary was engaged to be married. And the virgin's name was Mary. And upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. I find this is fascinating because the angel Gabriel comes, and this is from the Message Bible, but listen to what the angel says to Mary. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Now, dear one, God sees you as beautiful with God's beauty. Some of you out there may not be feeling beautiful today, but God says you are beautiful to him, and he loves you, and he surrounds you with favor as with a shield, and that's Psalm 512. And this is what the angel Gabriel was saying to Mary. Mary, you have found favor with God, okay? And he said, you're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. Wow, that's how God sees Mary, saw Mary. That's how God sees you. You are beautiful to the Lord. You have found favor. Second Chronicles chapter 16:9 says that God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. And I propose to you today that God had been looking down through the ages to see what person he could tap to carry the seed, carry his son Jesus, and here she was, Mary. And she was a young virgin, aged between 13 and 15. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, and the angel appears to her quite suddenly, which is pretty cool. And it says in about verse 29, she was thoroughly shaken. She was surprised. She didn't know this was coming. And she was wondering what was behind a greeting like that. I mean, here's an angel appears in your room. Let's picture that. That's pretty wild. And the angel says, Mary, you have nothing to fear. And I would say to you, dear one out there today, you have nothing to fear. Following God, obeying God, being in the right place where God wants you to be with him should cause you no fear. But a lot of times the devil comes and tries to put fear in your life, that God's not going to take care of you, that God doesn't love you as much as he loves someone else, that you're not special to God, any of that. That is all hogwash. Let's call it what it is, hogwash. Because God says to Mary, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. Now, I love Luke chapter 1 because you see the word surprise two or three times. I think it's three times. God loves surprises. At this Christmas season, what's it all about? Gifts. It's about giving things, and people love to be surprised, right? Don't you love to be surprised? As kids, I think we were surprised a lot.
I haven't put no money in a Salvation tip jar yet.
You haven't?
No, I have not.
Maybe you should.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. What was that about? I don't know. But that's okay. Now he knows he's going to do that and surprise somebody. Anyway, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now, the angel takes it a step further and he says, you will call his name Jesus. He does not give any options here for Mary to pick out a name she likes. Or pick out a name, maybe name him after Joseph or somebody. No, he's going to be named the name that God the Father ordained from the foundation of the earth. That name could only be one name. And that's because that name in the original Hebrew is Yeshua, and it means God our salvation. Okay? So Jesus could only be named God's salvation. Think about that. That's what he was. That's what he came to do. He could not be named any other name. He could not be named any common name of the time, like Fred or Barney, but it had to be Yeshua. Yes, Yeshua, because it means God is our salvation. That's what it means. It also means in that word five characteristics. Now, five in the Word of God is always a number for grace. And so I find this fascinating that the name of Jesus means five things. It means salvation. That's when you ask Jesus into your heart and you say, come into my heart and live in me. That's what his name means. When you say, dear Jesus, you're talking about salvation. So one of the names of Jesus, Jesus means, one of his meanings is salvation. Another one is deliverance, because he came to set us free from all kinds of bondages, which we all have a whole lot of bondages going on in our lives, don't we? And so one of the meanings of the name of Jesus is deliverance. Find that fascinating and wonderful. One of the meanings of his name is safety. And I don't know about you, but I think we all need a little bit of safety in our lives, right? God protects us from all kinds of things. Number four, the meaning of Jesus is helper. And he is a fascinating, wonderful helper. Jesus said when he was going back up to heaven, now I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to send someone with you to be with you forever. And he will be your helper and your friend. And that was the Holy Spirit. And one of the names of Jesus, the name Jesus, one of the meanings, I keep getting it wrong. One of the meanings of his name is helper. And number five is prosperer. And we're going to talk about that. Number five, that meaning in the month of January. But here they are again. If you want to take notes and write them down, Yeshua, which is what Jesus means in Hebrew, means God our Savior, or God is salvation. And that name, Jesus, has five dimensions. Let's call them dimensions instead of meanings. Salvation, deliverance, safety, helper, and prosperer. That's what Jesus is to you. This whole series we've been doing in the month of December is entitled Jesus Is. So I want you to remember that Jesus is, his very name means salvation. His very name means deliverance. His very name means safety and helper and prosperer. So the angel says to Mary, you're going to name him Jesus. Nothing else. There's no other option here. Yeshua, that's his name. So now let's look what else he says. He will be great. He goes on and describes him. He will be called Son of the Highest. In other words, the angel is saying, this is the Son of God. Okay. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Here is another prophecy fulfilled. We found that prophecy in Isaiah 11, 1-5, that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And so the angel Gabriel says, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. All those are prophecies. There would not be an end to his kingdom. He would come through the line of Jacob and Judah, and he would come through the line of David. And all of those were prophecies fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Let's look at verse 34. Mary said to the angel, but how? Now, I find it fascinating here that Mary doesn't say, wait a minute, forget it. I can't do this. I'm not adequate. And I'll talk more about that with Carol in a minute. But the original Greek translation of what Mary responds to the angel is this. This is the first thing that is noted that she said. And here's what she said. But how shall this be? She didn't say, I don't think this can happen. She didn't say, this is impossible. She said, but how shall this be? In other words, Mary is immediately surrendered to the will of God. She is immediately aware that she is going to be used as the vessel to contain the seed that would produce the child, Jesus, the Savior of the world. And Mary simply says, but how shall this be? Okay? The Holy Spirit will come upon you is the answer from the angel. The power of the highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. Immediately, the angel says, this is what's going to happen, Mary. You're going to be carrying the Messiah. That's why we started the show with that Winona song. I love it. It's the Messiah. Because Jesus is the Messiah. What does that mean? That is the Savior that was coming to save the world from our sin, from our sicknesses, from all that junk in our lives that we need to be delivered from. And the angel declares, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will hover over you. And therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy Son of God. That's in verse 35 of Luke chapter 1, if you just joined us. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And the angel goes on and begins to talk to Mary about her cousin. You see, Mary's first cousin was Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was quite a bit older than Mary, and she was actually had been wanting to have a child for so many years. She was married to the priest Zechariah. We find his story in the first part of Luke 1. And we're not going to talk about that today, but Elizabeth had been trying to have a baby. It seemed impossible. She could not conceive. They had tried for so many years. And I would imagine at this point in Elizabeth's life, since she was older, that she had given up having a child. So listen to what the angel surprises Mary with again. Again, here we go, another surprise. Did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? That's a question to Mary. Everyone called her barren. Everyone called her barren. Everybody thought there's no way she's ever going to have a child. And here she is, 6 months pregnant. Now, this is fascinating that Elizabeth is pregnant at the same time Mary is. And it's so important because Elizabeth was carrying a very, very important person. And that person became John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. And he was prophesied back in the Old Testament in Malachi and a lot of different places that God would send somebody ahead of Jesus to announce that he had arrived. It's like an announcer on a TV show that says, you know, okay, here we are, start the TV show, and there's an announcer off to the side saying, and now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Price is Right, and here's Drew Carey, okay, for instance. That announcer announces the beginning of that show. We're all accustomed to that on TV. God used the same system. He sent a total miracle child in the form of John the Baptist to be within Elizabeth, who was way too old to have a child. And John the Baptist came with a purpose, with a goal, with a mission, and that was to announce the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. Is Carol on the line? She is.
Carol, it's on the line.
Woo! I didn't see your light shine in there in the control room, so I didn't think you were on yet. So,
oh, yeah. All right. I just jumped in.
Okay, Carol, wow. Isn't this fascinating how the miracle of this story is? I mean, I think it's a miracle that Mary took this news so well, don't you?
In the day and period and time in which Mary lived, I think it's astounding that she took this message of a virgin birth to heart and was able to deal with it.
Oh, absolutely, because don't you think there would have been a whole lot of repercussions for a little girl who's between 13 and 15 to be found pregnant? She's engaged to Joseph, but they had not slept together at that point, and yet she's found to be pregnant, and we know that, you know, Joseph's reaction, which we kind of talked about last week a little bit on this show, but Joseph, he was pretty upset about it when he first heard, and then he had a dream that night. God uses dreams a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the angel said, hey, don't worry, Joseph. That's in Matthew chapter 1 where we were last week. It's okay. The child within her is the Son of God, you know?
That's right. And can you imagine the angst that he felt prior to knowing that? You know,
right.
I was discussing this earlier with Maxine this morning, and we were talking about how a 13 to 15-year-old might have felt in that day, period, and time. Her family was certainly disgraced. They probably did not want to welcome her at the dinner table. You know that every member of her family had questions of her. When did this happen? Who did this?
Right.
Why is this happening? Did we not teach you right?
Yeah.
look how you have brought shame to the family.
Right. That could have.
That had to have been some of their initial reaction.
Absolutely. A total, like, shock. But I find it so interesting that even though Mary is immediately back up in about verse, 29. She's thoroughly shaken. She's wondering what the greeting means. She never once said, no, not me. Don't use me. She never said, I am not available. Isn't that cool?
Not one time.
No.
And I think that speaks of one of the messages that we're supposed to get from this work in Luke today. And that's the fact that we have to be obedient. We don't always understand what is in store for us. We certainly don't know our future. Mm-hmm. We barely can remember our past because some of it has been so disgraceful in so many people that you don't want to remember it. And as we all come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior, we certainly want to put our past behind us if it did not link us directly to the lineage of a follower of Jesus.
Right, yeah. And a lot of people may feel that way today, even listening, Carol, that they do not feel that they have favor. Because I mentioned that earlier, that the angel says to Mary, you have found favor with God. And yet David says in Psalm 5:12, we are all surrounded with favor like a shield. But so often, we don't believe that, do we?
No, because we don't feel worthy.
Yes, that's it.
And the reason we don't feel worthy, in my opinion, is that people constantly remind us of how we have failed.
Right.
Failed within our family. We failed within our friends. How we have not always been faithful to the promises we make to other people. And we have the best of intentions, but circumstances get in the way. And how we have not always been able to find favor with those who walk with us and beside us.
Right.
You know, so I think we find a lot of discord in not being able to believe that we are worthy. See, she didn't have to worry about it. She knew she was worthy.
And see, that is fascinating to me, Carol. God looked down through the ages of time, and like I mentioned the verse earlier, he's always on the lookout, 2 Chronicles 16:9. His eyes roam to and fro, looking for somebody who's committed to him. And he looked down through the ages and he said, okay, I need to have my son born at this period of time when he can be born in a stable, in a lowly, humble setting. He needed him to die on a cross, and there wasn't a whole lot of times in history when crosses were used for execution. So it began to limit the time frame of when he could send his son. And he looked for a person that was of a good heart, you know, of a heart towards God. And we see in this whole chapter, Mary says a whole lot of things about her relationship with God. And one of the things that the Catholic Church, I think, is good about is they really talk about how cool Mary really was, you know? A blessing, you know?
She was a blessing. You know, she is called the Blessed Mother.
Right.
Yeah. She is the mother of Jesus.
Yes.
The earthly mother of Jesus.
Right.
And for that reason, she is to be revered, but
exactly.
not worshipped.
But not worshipped.
Tells us we
no.
are not to pray to Mary or
right.
worship Mary.
Right. But to
but
honor
to
her.
Honor Mary.
Exactly. That's there's a difference. But I wanted to point out here just Mary's attitude of acceptance of what God had for her. And I think this is huge, Carol, because I think so many of us, especially at the Christmas season when our emotions tend to get down and we get discouraged and we feel, you know, there's just a lot of agony, it seems like, around the holidays for a lot of people. They dread family situations. They,
sure.
you know, they dread maybe they're in a situation where the family doesn't accept them for who they are. Or, you know, or maybe even for their relationship with God or whatever. And so there can be a lot of pain associated with the holidays. And I think one of the things that God wants to remind us today in this radio show is just how very much he loves us and that he sent his son to this earth because he loved us so much. And look how much he loved Mary. Woo!
I think the reason that Jesus came as a baby.
Yes.
And I preached this sermon in 2008, in December of 2008. And it's because babies are not threatening to anybody.
Oh, there
now, had Jesus
go.
Just appeared out of, say, a mist on a mountaintop
okay.
and come walking into a town, let's just pick any town. We can say Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's on the beach. It'd be a comfortable place to be in winter and summer. And if he just appeared on the beach and started walking up and down the beach,
right.
in the city of Fort Lauderdale, for instance, and saying, follow me, do this, do that, people would have really been frightened.
Yeah.
Bodily harm could have come to him very quickly before his mission had been delivered.
Well, they would have thought he was crazy.
As a baby.
Yes.
And we're not scared of babies.
Right.
Babies aren't threatening. So
right.
he came to us as that little tiny infant.
Yes.
When he could have come clothed in diamonds and gold and royal robes and purple everywhere. But I really believe that would have not been his purpose.
No.
It would have defeated his purpose, which was to arrive unscary.
Right, exactly. And I think the other thing, and I totally agree with what you're saying. Whoa, are you okay? You okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we just had a lot of sound there. Okay, when he's talking about, when the angel's talking about Elizabeth, you know, her cousin,
yeah.
and here she is, so old that they named her barren at this point. She cannot raise a child. And, you know, the angel in the first part of Luke 1 comes to Zachariah in the temple and tells him that he's going to father this child, and it yeah. just seems totally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it fascinating that God is always teaching us the deeper principles of his kingdom. And the one he wants to teach us right here with Elizabeth and with Mary is that what seems impossible for us and seems totally off the radar as far as we're concerned, can't happen, no way, not going to happen. Whatever that might be in your life, let's say that it's a family situation, a marriage situation, a problem with a child. So often we major on it's not going to happen, it's not going to ever change, nothing's ever going to do anything. Yet God chooses to use two very impossible situations through two women who said, yes, Lord, one of them being Mary, one of them being Elizabeth, and he did a miraculous surprise for both of them. Don't you find that fascinating?
I do. And I know that as we dig deeper into Scripture and as we study more, and I don't think there's ever a day that one doesn't need to, or a time period that one does not need to delve into the Scriptures, because it's one thing one day, and then the next day or in the next hour even, it's something different.
Right.
And to
I love it.
Two seemingly
yeah.
human impossibilities. A barren woman, too old to give birth, never gave birth, looked upon as people in her family, in her little village, as basically just a useless woman.
Right. She just didn't amount, because if they couldn't produce children, then that was a stigma. It was
That's
a huge
right.
stigma.
And so there she was, facing that every single day of her life. And
right.
For how many years? We, And it just went on and on and on. You know, it didn't get any better. And then you take this other impossible situation, a young virgin girl, 13 to 15, who didn't have a clue what it was to lay with a man of her husband and to create a child by God's grace and mercy.
Yeah.
But she didn't know that. So you take those two impossibilities, humanly impossible, and they become miracles.
Which brings...
Oh, God always comes and does the unexpected at the most unexpected time.
And it's about surprising us, isn't it? He loves, you know, God loves to surprise
us. Showing us that with him, nothing is impossible.
And that is verse in your Bible, I think it's probably verse 37, because after the angel says, verse 36, did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing, you see, is impossible with God. That whole statement right there is a quote from Jeremiah 32:26, and there God also says nothing's impossible with him. In fact, he even phrases it in a question in Jeremiah 32:26. He says, is there anything I can't do? And that is a great question, Carol. Is there anything that God can't do?
There's anything that he can't do.
Well, is this statement true? Nothing is impossible with God? Nothing is impossible with God? Is that statement correct? Because that is what the angel says to Mary. Nothing is impossible with God. I mean, there are people out there listening to us today, Carol, that have not a dime right now in their pocket. Maybe they absolutely have issues that are overwhelming them, addictions and problems that are just keeping them under, you know, instead of over, and they're not overcomers. And God would say to everyone in our listening audience today, nothing is impossible with God. Whatever your situation is, God wants to intervene in your situation. Talk to me, Carol, about that.
He wants to intervene, and he will do it at the time when all hope appears to be gone.
Amen.
All earthly hope, all humanly hope appears to just be gone and out the window. He will intervene. He will come in when he receives the glory and the honor for what he has done or will
do. That's it.
You know, when we're looking at verse 38, Mary says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
I love that verse.
We open our hearts up and say, Lord, let me be your servant. And this is what's so hard for some family members and friends to understand. When a person opens their heart and says, in the quiet stillness of their own home or in a car where they've just felt the movement of Christ in their body, to say, Lord, I'm your servant.
Amen.
Open me up to serve you.
Yes.
Give me what I need to take your word to other people.
Amen.
And that's hard for family members to understand. If someone's been very apathetic toward Christian beliefs or beliefs in anything, and they've just kind of run amok their life the way they wanted it to go and do, and then they become a changed individual. Family and friends have society in general has a very difficult time accepting that.
Well, I agree with you entirely, but I find that this person, Mary, and obviously Elizabeth, these were people who were submitted to the will of God. Don't you see?
That's right. And see, once we submit to the will of God, then we can see the miracles for what they really are.
Absolutely.
And we can see that this birth, the birth of John, and then the birth of Jesus, truly were to bring God into the forefront of our lives.
Amen.
And he took a barren woman and a young girl.
Yes.
What is more impossible? Produce a child.
Well,
and yet he did this.
Right.
Doing so, they were very faithful. They never doubted.
No. And that's what is so cool here, isn't it? I mean,
it is. You know, Mary never doubted that this was the truth that had been told her.
Exactly.
That she had been selected.
Right.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
to say it that way. You know, and Mary sings the songs of praise, you know, when we get into 46 and so forth, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Oh, but that we could all sing that.
Amen. I love that.
Magnifies the Lord. She wasn't upset. She wasn't angry. She didn't kick the dirt floor and say, "Why me?
Right.
Look what it's going to do to me. I'm going to be set apart. I'm going to be called out. People will look at me with disdain."
You know, I agree with you, Carol. We see here in both Mary and Elizabeth yielded vessels. And I think that is the underlying message at this Christmas season, that here are two women with different situations, but both of them said, "Yes, Lord, yes." Okay. And they were willing. I mean, you think people didn't talk about Elizabeth at her older age getting pregnant and saying,
"Oh, my goodness, you know, it had to be the scandal of town."
Well, and not only that, here's Zechariah, her husband, the priest, who, because he doubted the angel when the angel announced it to him in Luke chapter 1, he doubted it. And he goes, "That's impossible. Can't be."
Sure.
And because of his doubt, God shut his mouth until the baby John was born, because he didn't want any negativity coming out of Zechariah's mouth. I find that fascinating.
Don't you love that part?
Yes.
That's the part that, just when I was reading it again today,
yes,
just reviewing in my mind again, that was the part that was astounding.
It was, isn't it?
This man cannot speak because God didn't want anything adverse spoken about Elizabeth.
He just shut his mouth.
He didn't want him to sit with his buddies, you know, and talk about it, or go to the,
right,
on the way to the temple and,
right,
hug his brothers up, you know, his fellow priest, and say, "Oh, my goodness, I don't know what's happened. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen." So he just told him, "You won't speak."
Okay, look at verse 19, and then we're going to go to song in a minute, of chapter 1. "The angel said to Zechariah, 'I am Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. But because you won't believe me," he had just told him that, yeah, Elizabeth was going to bear a son, "because you won't believe me, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time." In other words, Zechariah was going to have to pay a price for not believing. And so Mary and Elizabeth chose to believe. And Carol, I want to play a song that I've been playing in my car for the last few days. We even used it at the end of the service today. It is just, it's talking about, "Surround me, God, with your presence." Because this is what happened to Mary, and this is what happened to Elizabeth. They were basking in God's presence all the time before these blessed events happened to them. Listen to this song, "Surround Me."
Oh Lord, surround me, oh Lord, surround me, oh Lord, let your presence fill this place. Surround me, oh Lord, let your grace.
God.
Amen.
Oh, surround me, mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what it's all about. And
it is what it's all about. Being able to ask to be surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to know deep in the deepest part of your soul.
Yes.
That when you ask to be surrounded, to
yes.
surround me, oh God.
Right.
That you are surrounded.
Amen.
You are protected on all four sides.
Exactly. And, you know, we see, and I think this is kind of ironic, really, that Luke chapter 1, starting with about verse 5, is the story of Zechariah. And this is Elizabeth's husband. He was a high priest, and he had one turn in life. That's about verse 8 or 9.
Yes.
He had one turn in life to enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. This was his moment in time where he was allowed to go into that holy place, and the congregation was gathered outside. They were praying, and then, and that very moment, I love God. He is so on time. We serve an on time God, Carol, because it's at the right moment when Zechariah should have been in such a place of faith, such a place of surrounded by God's presence. He was in the holy place.
That's right.
Inside the temple. He should have been in a place of awe, a place of faith, a place of, wow, I am in the, this is my one moment that I get to go into this special place. And and all of a sudden here comes an angel appearing to him in there. I find God's timing incredible.
Well,
it's credible, I guess. It's just amazing. Let's put it that way. It's amazing.
It's a ritual.
Woo!
You know, it was a time when he knew that it was his one big shot.
Right.
You know, as a priest, they could only go there once in their lifetime.
Yeah.
It was not by happenstance that
right.
he was there at that time. It was a way for the angel of God to say to him in the quiet deepness of his own spirituality, listen to me.
Amen.
I have a story to tell you.
Yes.
And then, and when he heard the story, he was, I don't know if he really felt unworthy or just didn't believe it, or he had had so many other things told to him by humans on earth that he simply did not at that moment understand what the ramifications of it all would become
right.
later on.
Exactly.
You know, and then when the baby was born, all of his friends were wanting to name him Junior, basically.
Right. Zechariah.
You know? And,
uh-huh.
and he kind of fell into that. But she knew, Elizabeth knew, the name was to be John because the angel Gabriel had told her it was to be John.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's a blessing from God. So she knew that. And isn't it amazing how in that period of time she did what women didn't do? She stood up to her husband and said, no, his name will be John.
Yeah, and then they got the tablet of paper and took it over to Zechariah. He said,
yep.
yes, John's the name, and suddenly his tongue was loosed because of his obedience.
That's right.
I want to go back to Luke 1, where the angel comes in and talks to Zechariah, because Zechariah was paralyzed in fear at the end of verse 12, Luke 1, 12, when the angel shows up in there, in the temple, where he's doing the incense and praying and all of that. Says Zechariah was paralyzed in fear, but the angel reassured him. I'm in verse 13 of Luke 1. Don't
yes.
fear, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. He was even told right here. You're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. Not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. He'll drink neither wine nor beer. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit from the moment he leaves his mother's womb. He will turn many sons and daughters of Israel back to their God. Here's the part. He will herald God's arrival. In other words, he'll be the messenger. He'll be the announcer.
That's
that
right.
Here comes God on the scene. He will herald God's arrival in the style and strength of Elijah, soften the hearts of parents to children, and kindle devout understanding among hardened skeptics. He'll get the people ready for God. He'll get the people ready for God. Now, by the way, I want to throw this in. John means Jehovah shows favor, which I find that's interesting that that's what his name means. I also find that there are seven people in the Bible who were named before they were born. Jesus was one, and John was one, and there are five others. I can't tell you who the other five are. I'll have to look that up. But there were only seven people in the Bible that were told, this is the name you're going to name your child, okay? And John was the name given because it meant Jehovah shows favor. And that's what we're talking about here with Mary and Elizabeth, God showing favor. Don't you see?
Yes.
Wow.
And don't you know that the burden that was eventually placed on that child?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had great things to do.
Yes, he did.
But he also suffered greatly. And I was reading a commentary earlier this morning about there's really not much that tells us about whether his mother actually saw him grow into full manhood or what actually happened to him. And, you know, the things that befell him later on in life as he became an aged man.
Right. We don't see Elizabeth growing much older. We don't see any account of her in the Word.
She kind of dropped out of the picture.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like she was the vehicle.
Yes, she was.
To bring this all to fore.
Right.
And to bring John forth, who would proclaim, you know, that Jesus was coming.
Right, exactly.
You know, and be the forebearer, like you said, the forebearer of tidings of good joy, and to be there with him and to suffer with him and to go through all of the trials and tribulations they went through as young men and as walking and preaching the word.
Right.
She missed all of that, and it was like she was blessed doubly.
Yeah.
She was blessed that she had the child.
Right.
And she was blessed that she didn't see him at his day's end.
Right. And, you know, we don't know how long she lived or any of that, but we know that she was obedient, you know? And let's look over verse 57 of Luke 1 a minute. When Elizabeth was full term in her pregnancy, she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with mercy, celebrated with her. I love that God had overwhelmed her with mercy. And that is what God wants to do in each of our lives. Dear listener, God wants to overwhelm you with mercy. In fact, we're going to talk more about that in the month of January. I'm going to start a new series in January, and we're going to talk about what God's desire is for your life. And it's interesting, the whole village knew that Elizabeth had been overwhelmed with mercy. I'm in about verse 57, 58. Can you read that in your translation, Carol, or what translation do you have with you?
Well, I have about four sitting
okay.
here. I'm going to read it from the ESV.
Okay.
Okay, 57 through 58, the birth of John the Baptist. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her.
Mm-hmm.
And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he simply wrote on the tablet, "His name is John," because he wasn't speaking.
Right.
He didn't have, you know, he didn't open his mouth and say, "Hey, guys, look, we're going to name this baby John."
That's in verse 63.
He couldn't. So he had to reach for that tablet and write.
Yeah.
And when he wrote the name John, he verified in the mind of the angel the fact that he accepted it.
It
was a birth from God.
Exactly. And in the Message Bible, Carol, in verse 63, it says, asking for a tablet, Zechariah wrote, "His name is to be John." That took everybody by surprise. There's another surprise in Luke 1. Surprise followed surprise. Zechariah's mouth was now open, his tongue loosed, and he was talking, praising God. Now, I love verse 64 because when Zechariah obeyed what the angel had said, you're going to name him John. When Zechariah took a stand with the relatives and the neighbors and said, it's John. Elizabeth's right. It is John. When he wrote that name on that tablet, His tongue was loosed. He began to speak because obedience causes breakthrough with God in so many areas in our lives. When we are obedient, God comes shining through and breaking through. And it says that what he was doing, when his tongue was loosed, he was talking, praising God. I find it great that old Zechariah did not open his mouth and go, and I do not believe that I have not been able to talk all these months. This is really bad. You don't see that at all. No complaining.
He spoke a blessing to God at that point.
He did. Yes.
You know? I mean, he finally, don't you think he finally, in all those months that he had to remain silent and could not speak, don't you think that God was working on him to realize what was happening and
absolutely.
And how he was to play the part out and what his role was to become?
Yes, I think that exactly. Look at verse 67. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. So now we see that after he immediately starts praising God, and the neighbors are all going, oh my, what is going on here? What will become of this child? God has had his hand in this. Then the next thing we see Zechariah saying is in verse 67 of Luke 1, and it says Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, God surrounded him, just like that song we just sang.
Yes.
God overshadowed him. God came upon him like he had Mary and Elizabeth. God came all over Zechariah. I would have loved to see Zechariah right then, Carol, because I think that he was just absolutely, the anointing of God was all over him, and he began to prophesy. And if you have your Bible, look with us at Luke 1, 67. These are Zechariah's words. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He came and set his people free. He set the power of salvation in the center of our lives, in the very house of David, his servant, just as he promised long ago, prophecy fulfilled, through the preaching of his holy prophets, deliverance from our enemies and every hateful hand, mercy to our fathers as he remembers to do what he said he would do. I don't know if you can follow that in the translation you are, Carol, to see how far
I'm
sitting
right
here
looking at it. Yeah.
All right, start at 67 and read down to where I stopped, if you will.
Okay. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has raised, has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and all of the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
Amen.
The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we be delivered from the hand of our enemies, serve him mightily without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all of our days. Can you imagine being delivered from fear?
Woo!
I mean, this is a teaching Bible,
right?
And it talks about, says what in verses 65 and 66, fear comes upon all the neighbors.
Right.
And they suddenly realize, though, that God is working among them.
Yes.
And he's not to be feared in the way that they had previously.
Right.
That Luke emphasizes the greatness of John's fame by his expressions that all the neighbors and all the hill country of Judea and all who heard.
Wow. Oh, let's go on, because let's go on and finish down to that whole chapter. And you, my child. So now he turns and he lays his hands, I believe, on his baby John, Zechariah, the one who had been full of fear now has been delivered from fear. Okay. And he turns to his child and he says, prophet of the highest. Go ahead there and finish that up.
Okay. Prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgivenesses of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sun shall visit us from on high, and to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the secret way of peace.
Woo! And the child grew up healthy and spirited. He lived out in the desert until the day he made his prophetic debut in Israel. Woo, don't go anywhere. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. You are back with us for our second hour live in our radio station here in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. My guest is Carol up in Georgia, one of our radio team. And you are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are always on this station every Sunday from 4 to 6. And we are getting ready to have a huge milestone, Carol. It's coming up on February 6th. And don't say the Super Bowl, okay? Because
well,
you and I are such football fans.
Probably the teams I would like to see aren't even going to be close to it anyway.
Yeah, so. Who knows who it's going to be. Maybe it's going to be the Bucks. You never know. It's hard to say.
And it could be the Falcons.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, in another year probably. But anyway, God is moving in our lives in this ministry, Carol, and we are excited that something else is happening on February 6th, not just the Super Bowl. And by the way, we did not plan it to come out on the same day as the Super Bowl. It just happened that way. What's happening on February 6th?
February 6th. I guess you're going to have to enlighten me. Maybe that's when Pastor David is coming?
No, he's coming the week before. February 6th is our 200th radio show.
See, I don't even believe we've been on that long. It seems like yesterday.
Listen to the applause. Oh, I love that. Oh, I love that, Engineer
Bill.
It
seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
It does. 200 radio shows. We will celebrate our 200th show on February 6th.
And just think, if we haven't done anything but touch 200 new lives.
Right.
And look how it would go on. You know, it's kind of like the begats, and the begats.
Right, exactly. And you know that if there was, like you were just saying, if there's only one life touched per show, that's at least 200 people, and it's been worth every bit of that. But you know what? There's a whole lot more that have been reached and touched. I've been getting more notes or calls or messages on the phone from different people that listen to the show and that are blessed by it on a regular basis. And that is a blessing to us at Beacon of Hope. We do this by faith. We do not ask for donations. But, you know, maybe that's something we should offer to people, that they can plant the seed of finances into this ministry to get these shows out there across the globe, because it is global. We are on the internet, and that address is www.tantalk1340.com, and that's every Sunday from 4 to 6, 2-hour show live. Some people have said to me, golly, you're such a football fan. How do you give up that time and come to the radio show every Sunday afternoon? You know what? It's not something that I give up, Carol. It's something I absolutely love doing. I look forward all week to doing this show and to being here. I really do. Don't you, when you're on?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, today in my human life is a special day for me.
Right.
It's
in your human life?
A special day for me in another way, because I get the opportunity to share some of the insight that God has given me. And
exactly.
I prefer to take that, and I'm well understood at home in that region when I do something to that effect.
Right. And we just appreciate all of you on our radio team. There's like 8 of us. And most of you will be joining us on February 6th. So that's exciting day. That's a milestone for this ministry. And so if you want to be a part of that, we have made it very easy for you to give financially to this ministry. Go to beaconofhopeministries.com. That's got an IES on the end of it. It's not ministry. It's plural. beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can give a donation right there on the website through the PayPal system, which is totally and completely secure and safe. So we have had more and more people using the PayPal system. We encourage you to give a donation, plant your finances into this ministry. It is good soil. And I tell you, I'm going to be teaching, Carol, in the month of January. I thought I was going to be teaching the Gospels, but God really spoke to me this last week, and he said, put that off till February, the series I was going to start in January. January's series is going to start on January 2nd, and I believe you're on that show, Carol.
Yes.
And that is 2 weeks from today, and it is The Power of Prosperity. We are going to teach all about your finances, how to get out of debt, what to do, what does the Word say about your finances. And you know what? A lot of people need to hear this. And I believe it's going to be an incredible series for 4 or 5 weeks, January and the first part of February. So we have that coming up soon. So, Carol, what a blessing, isn't it, to talk about the Word today and the Christmas story. And I just want to invite anybody out there that is not sure that they are going to heaven, that they're not positive of their relationship with God, we will pray later on in the show, in this hour, we will give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So hang
it's
with us on the show.
Never too late, and it's certainly
right.
Never too early.
Absolutely. And we talked earlier that if you have a prayer need, go to, just write us an email at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Carol, Pastor Jim has been keeping a log all year with the prayer requests and the answers. They are astronomical, the numbers of requests that have come in across the nation from people, friends of this one or that one, a relative of somebody up in Ohio or Georgia or Alabama or Alaska or California, Seattle. There's just incredible what God is doing through the prayer ministry. We give God all the glory and the praise, don't you?
Definitely. You know, that's the only way we can do it. And I think that's the message of the birth, the miracles of the two babies that were born, John
yes.
and Jesus, is that we give the glory where the glory is deserved. And the glory goes all to God and the miracles that he chooses to work among his people.
Amen.
You know, as I sat down and wrote some things for this episode today, it has certainly occurred to me that God's perfect timing, which is not obvious to us. We don't need to know the timing of certain things because we would drive him crazy. We drive him crazy enough now by trying to impose our time frame on God's time frame. We can't see the working that he's doing behind the scene. We don't have the ability to see that. Once it happens, once an event happens about us, we can then possibly look back and see how things fell into place. You know, for instance, how Zechariah was in the temple on his one day.
Exactly.
It looks like happenstance, but it really isn't.
It's not.
It's perfect timing.
Whoa, hold
on. And this, it also shows us in Luke that Luke is really kind of a God way to living.
Yeah.
It shows us that God builds the faith of his servants, just like he did those two women and the husbands or the husband-to-be.
Right, exactly.
How he built their faith up.
Wow. Oh.
And how the villages and the villagers around them's faith was built. And when we get into the birth of the child, which comes much later, then we see how the wise men came and how their faith was built to see this child that was going to render unto Caesar what was Caesar's at one day.
Exactly.
And teach us how to become more like him and how to expect him to be the guider of our life, if you will, the exhorter, which we all need.
Amen. You're talking
about... I know I get caught up in this right here. This is one of the things that I'll tell anybody is one of the foibles to my understanding. I get caught in this me situation, which I'm going to explain.
Well, hang on a minute. Before you get there, you can do it as soon as we do this song. We need to get this song in here by Hillsong and hold that thought and we'll come right back to it. And it's talking about exactly what you were just now talking about. Magnificent. Listen to this.
Call forth songs of joy as the morning wanes. We, your children, give you praise. You are magnificent, eternal.
God. No one compares to him. He's magnificent. The name of Jesus above every other name. No one ever can compare.
To you, Jesus.
Praise God. Woo. We're talking about Jesus today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. We're talking about the birth of Jesus. We're talking about his conception, Mary, her cousin Elizabeth. Carol, you're my guest in Georgia. So we need to do a song, so let's go back to the point you were making before we did. Wasn't that a beautiful song by Hillsong?
Very pretty song.
Oh, gorgeous.
Indeed it is.
Oh.
And if we can learn to sing the songs that we feel in our heart about
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
And know that we don't have to sing songs that someone else has written. We can sing songs that mean our relationship with him.
Right. Exactly.
Every morning when I rise, I try to find a space in my early morning rising that I thank him. I
mm-hmm.
thank him that he watched over me in the evening and watched over my home and my family here, and that he protected us health-wise and from the things that might befall us in the way
right.
of in human things by other people. I thank him for the sunrise, and I thank him when I look in my yard and see the birds
yeah.
running back and forth and eating out of the feeders.
Right.
I thank him for all of the things that he's done for me. And while I don't sing magnificent, I sing my own song
mm-hmm.
of how magnificent he is and what he does for me. And what I was saying earlier is that sometimes, you know, and I'm one of these, I have to admit this, in this period of confessional here, that sometimes God chooses his servants to prepare somebody else who's going to be used greatly by him.
Right.
Rather than, for instance, in my life, I feel, you know, I really want to do something fantastic for God.
Right.
I want to be able to sing a song to him without my cracky little squeaky voice. I want to be able to lift my hands in praise, and which I
and
do,
you get,
and
you
thank
do.
Him for everything.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But I also have learned that it isn't my time. That he, you know, he's using me in some way that I don't fully,
amen.
Maybe not realize at the time, but to prepare other people that will do great things in their life. And as a teacher and as a person who has the gift of exhortation, I have to realize that is how I'm being used by
right.
God.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Now, would I like to be, you know, would I like to be the great songstress that stands out in front of a choir and sings a solo of holy praise? Oh, boy, would I ever. But I don't have that ability. But I can encourage people who do to stand up and sing the songs that your heart can
right.
sing and that your vocal cords can express.
Exactly.
Or sing the songs of God becoming a great orator for Christ or becoming an humble servant of Christ wherever he might lead you.
You're talking about God allowing God to use us no matter where. And I want to, and I totally agree with you. And I want to go back to Luke 1:40, I think it's 46, where Mary begins to talk because she has said, Lord, be it done to me. You know, let it be. You know, she said, nothing is impossible, the angel said to Mary. And Mary said, okay, I fall into agreement with that. I see it all now. Let it be to me just as you say. And then we see over in verse 46, Mary says, and this tells everything about her. And I think what you're talking about, Carol, is that our attitude with God should be, okay, God, whatever you have planned for me, I want to fall into agreement with your plan. That's what I hear you saying, Carol. I want to fall into agreement with your plan. And that's what Mary did right here. Okay, God, what you said, I'm going to do.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we feel like it's unimportant or ordinary what we do.
Right. Exactly.
But it isn't ordinary or
no.
unimportant to him.
Amen.
If it's directed by him, it's not ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unimportant.
Yes.
It is a mission that we may not even realize we're on until such time as we get some report back, if we're lucky. We get some report back about a life that's been changed. You know, like this, like us on the radio today. It would be wonderful. I mean, I know that lives are being changed.
Right.
But I would hope that somebody along the line who has felt this message today and understands the first chapter of Luke and what it really means to them
right.
individually would at some point in time let us know how their life changed.
Right.
Did they go from a non-believer to a believer? Did they go from a believer who thought they couldn't to a believer who said, yes, I can?
Exactly. You know, and what we're talking about here is allowing God to use us. In the case of you and I here today, God's using us on this radio show. There are so many listeners out there that have situations going on where God is simply saying, say yes to me. This is what God is saying. Say yes to me. Okay. Let me use you. Just like Mary and Elizabeth made the decisions to fall into line with God's will for them. And back to verse 46 of Luke 1, Mary says, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one good look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others, his mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. And what Mary is talking about here is because I worshiped him, because I was in awe of God and how wonderful he was, and because I said yes, God said, all right, I can use her. What's what Mary's really saying here? He's saying God had mercy on me and decided to use me. And so I said yes. And I think that is the fundamental thing here about the life of Mary. God looked at her and said, I can use her. And Mary said, be it done to me according to your word. What you've decided, I'm going to fall into agreement with.
And you know, in Isaiah 43:1, we read that, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name,
mm-hmm.
or mine. And don't you know he was saying to Mary, and she understood it?
Yeah.
I have redeemed you. You are mine. Don't worry about what the world thinks of you.
Right.
And Mary, unfortunately, neither of these women were of royal birth from the standpoint. They didn't live with kings.
Right.
And walk with kings. They were both very poor.
Yes.
So it gives us cause to hope and to know that even the very poor of our day and our time throughout this scattered earth are redeemed by him, called by name by
Amen.
Him.
And Carol,
and
you the
they
point,
grow in their magnificence because of their obedience to
Amen.
Him.
Amen. It's obedience. And you were talking a minute ago about, you know, wanting to serve God and wanting to make a difference in people's lives. And I think that so often when we get to a point in our life where we say, okay, God, use me, change me, give me the opportunities you want me to have so that I can influence somebody else for your kingdom. When we get to that point of acceptance that God has a plan for us and wants to use us, and that's where Mary and Elizabeth were. You know, Zechariah was a little more skeptical. He was walking around in fear and he didn't believe. But Mary and Elizabeth both believed that God could use them, even though it would take a miracle in both of their situations to be used. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And look at how the world turned upside down.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
That's what God does. In using, and there's so much in this story that their world turned upside down.
Right.
You know, Elizabeth stood up to her husband in naming up the baby.
Right.
You know, and Zechariah was probably for a few minutes there the laughing stock of his friends.
Yeah. It had to be a little strange for him, didn't it?
Oh, and for all of a sudden, the spotlight, if you will,
right,
comes onto a stage and it highlights these four people.
Yes.
And neither of them have sought the spotlight.
Right. Yes.
But they've been obedient. The women definitely recognize that they are following a plan that God has given them. So their world, as they knew it at that time, turned upside down. What does he do to the world today? He turns it upside down so that he will be glorified. He is not going to let somebody stand up and claim to be the risen Christ, because there's only one.
Amen.
He takes great offense to that kind of nonsense.
Well, and I agree. Let's go back to Mary a minute in Luke 1:39. I want to take us back to a point we didn't make here. Because after God says to her through the angel, tells her about Elizabeth and says, nothing is impossible with God. Mary says, okay, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, okay, ready to serve. In other words, use me, God. I'm your servant. Let it be with me just as you say. And then the next verse is verse 39. Mary didn't waste any time. She got up and traveled and went to Judah, went to the house of Elizabeth, her cousin. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. And then we have the song that Elizabeth sang. And it is, it's just an incredible song there for a few verses. And it ends with, blessed woman, meaning Mary, who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. And the angel said that this child would be God with us, Emmanuel. Listen to this song, and then we'll come back in just a minute. Amy Grant.
We dim the light, we stoke the fire, we breathe the evergreen. Young ones wait while the old ones make up tales of how it used to be. China dolls, candy corn, painted wooden toys, treasures found to the wondrous sound of caroling the Savior born to us on Christmas morn.
God, Emmanuel, God with us. That was prophesied back in Isaiah 7:14 that this child will be born of a virgin and he would be named Emmanuel, God with us. Carol, let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18 a minute. and finish Matthew, because I want to bring in this Emmanuel, God with us, and also talk about Joseph for a minute. We've talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary, and we don't want to leave out Joseph because he is such a critical part of this story. And let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, I like that, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. That's verses 18 and 19 in Matthew 1. Carol, can you read those in your translation? It's probably more familiar to our listeners.
This is NIV.
Okay.
Reading from 20. But after that, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, mm-hmm. because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because mm-hmm. he will save his people from all their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Wow. What do we see about Joseph here? First of all, we see Joseph being put in a situation, as we talked earlier in the show, that was probably rather humiliating and difficult for him, and not knowing what to do when he discovered that she was pregnant. It says while he was trying to figure this out, he had a dream. So we don't know how long he stewed here in this situation. But don't you think it was probably pretty irritating and fearful time for Joseph?
It had to have been, and it had to be that he was wondering. You know he had to wonder, what is happening here?
Yes.
I have not laid with her,
mm-hmm.
my wife. Our human nature goes to, gee, is there someone else involved in
right.
this that I don't really understand and know about?
Right.
You know, and he's got to be humiliated among his friends and his family. And then when he brings her home and takes her as his wife and brings her home, they've got to be saying, are you crazy? She's pregnant with some child that isn't yours.
Right.
Why would you do this? And I think it shows at that point in time that Joseph is being obedient to what God has told him to do.
I totally agree. It's obedience.
Whatever may have taken place, if it brought consternation to him.
Except that in verse 20, we see that he has this dream, and it says God's angel, and it doesn't say Gabriel, but Gabriel's the one that's busy doing all the rest of this. So
yeah, he's running around like putting bugs in everybody's ear.
So I think it's probably Gabriel, because he appeared to Zechariah, appears to Mary, and now we see God's angel spoke in a dream. Joseph, son of David, by the way, son of David, that fulfills prophecy, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's
you know,
Holy Spirit has made her pregnant.
On his part, if he had any hard-heartedness,
right.
it was a sense of forgiveness, because
oh, yeah.
he realized, you know, when the angel in his dream appeared to him, he realized that there was nothing funny going on.
Right.
That it was a prophecy to be fulfilled, and that God's hand was in it all the way. So it teaches us to be forgiving
yes.
of situations we don't completely know or understand.
There you go. That's,
it teaches us
yes.
to forget about community sins and, once again, forgive the things that our family or community might do that we don't have a background to understand or a forbearance to understand.
Right. Exactly. And Joseph, you're right, had the forgiving heart, obviously, and he quickly believed what the angel said to him in this dream. You know, he could have been a skeptic. He could have said, I don't know what that dream was about. Maybe it's that pizza I ate last night. You know, that's really, nope. really a weird dream, you know? But it says that he immediately believed. And, you know, the angel is very detailed here. And the angel says, don't hesitate to get married. In other words, go ahead and marry this girl. Okay, yeah. Go ahead and do it, because she's carrying the Son of God. And I find it fascinating that Joseph does not argue. Joseph does not say, you don't know how this feels. Let me think this over. I'll get back to you in a week or two. You know, Joseph just believes that when the angel says she'll bring forth a son and you will name him Jesus, which means God saves, and he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph was not ignorant to the word of God that he had grown up listening to and learning. They were all expecting a Messiah. This was not some foreign concept to the children of Israel. They were believing God.
When their cord got pulled, don't you sit there and they're in, the four of them are sitting down looking at each other and going, oh, my stars, I cannot believe that it's us.
It's us. You know, yes, Zechariah, Elizabeth.
We are the four bearers of all of this.
Yes.
My goodness, because like you said, they've been hearing about it and hearing about it, looking and searching and trying to find.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they are thrust into that spotlight, if you will, of not knowing and yet knowing.
Well, and I think that's a huge point. And I think it's interesting. I'm sure they knew these scriptures, and Isaiah 7:14 is what the angel quotes to Joseph and says, look for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, and it means, that's Hebrew, for God with us. God
yep.
is with us. That song we just played. That's what Jesus is. God, and this whole series this month, Jesus is. What is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our deliverance. Jesus is our safety, our helper, our prosperer. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of God that came to earth to save us from our sins. And I find it so interesting and so wonderful that God uses just human beings, Carol. He didn't use angels to do all this. He did all this in four human beings.
That's right.
Zechariah and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary.
Low discord. You know, they weren't wealthy. They worked for a living.
Right.
You know,
right.
And for them to be chosen, don't you know it had to be an awesome responsibility for them once they realized really what was going on? You know, and it teaches that we, you know, I think a part of this is that we can learn from this that God's promise to deliver us in times of turmoil or chaos
right.
or national discontent, if we want to put it that way, rely on the fact that we trust, we believe, because they trusted and they believed.
Amen.
And it has come forth for generations to come.
Exactly. I think it's huge, because even though Zechariah did not believe to begin with, he paid a penalty. He had to be quiet so his negativity would not eke out and, you know, cause any harm in that whole situation. But eventually, Zechariah got to the point where when he obeyed and when he said, name him John, then suddenly the Holy Spirit came all over him as a result of his obedience to God, and Zechariah fell in line with the plan and purpose of God. Now, Joseph, right here, he had his misgivings about Mary. Yet, when the angel came and spoke to Joseph, this had to be a really convincing, wonderful angel, Gabriel, that did all this, Carol. I mean, this is fascinating to me, how Gabriel got around and did all this talking and really just saying, okay, here's the plan. You're a part of the plan. Congratulations.
Yeah, and he did it without causing discontent among
right.
the other villagers and people, at least by appearance. He doesn't go out and say, now look, you guys just sit back. Your time will come. We've got this to take care of. We've got these four people that God has picked out. I've got to get to each one of them. Please don't pull on my wings. I've got to go over here and say something else. You know, and he's not bugged by what the rest of the world might think. And the people, the four people concerned in this,
right.
are not, they are upset at first because they don't quite know how they're going to be accepted in their community or and within their own families or even among the four of them. Why is this happening? You know, but it gives us the opportunity to know that we have a God who can and a God who will.
Amen.
Move us from any situation
yes.
that brings us angst or put us into a situation that always brings glory to him.
Well, and that's why the angel Gabriel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. You know, that's five words. Nothing is impossible with God. And I think that's the theme of today's show. God can even turn attitudes around like this with Joseph, even though he had questions, concerns about Mary. When the angel came to Joseph, read verses 24 and 25 there, Carol, in Matthew 1. Would you read 24 and 25?
Yeah. Let's see. 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus.
Okay.
They were obedient once again.
There
obedience
you go.
Obedience just follows this chapter all the way through, from the beginning to the end.
Obedience. And I believe God looked down through time and he goes, okay. You know, they may have a little bit of a problem here, but I believe they are going to obey me. That is, Joseph, Mary, Zechariah, and Elizabeth, they're going to fall into the plan of God that was set in motion at the foundation of the earth. And it says that Joseph did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. And I really feel like this is a lesson for all of us to hear today, that so often we have such a hard time with obedience. We have such a hard time with wanting to do it our way, you know? We have such a hard time with saying, oh, wait a minute, I can handle this, God. I don't need you. That's all right. You go over there, you sit over there, and I'll call you when I need you.
That's
you
right.
know, we have a hard time with obedience. And God is constantly.
And it starts, you know, even in our own families.
Right.
And, you know, extended families around us. Neighbors and friends and church folk and business folk and even as young children, we don't want to be obedient. I mean, how many times has a parent of a teenager said, because I said so?
Right.
And the kid is going, well, I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
And the
exactly.
parent says, you will do what I said because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
without saying, look, I'm older, I'm wiser, I have learned that sometimes you can't hit the world with your own hard head. You've got to listen to somebody who's wiser or older or more experienced.
You know, I agree with that. I think it's interesting that these four did fall into line with God's plan. And I think that is what God is calling us today to do, is to fall in line with his plan for our lives. And this plan that was from the beginning of time, in fact, we know time has no beginning, so you know what? From the foundation of the earth, let's call it that, God's plan. He knew what people were going to do. He understood his plan. He knew when he was going to send his son. All of this was planned out. It was all because God loves us so much.
And look at the peacemakers that he's put in our world. I mean, you stop and look at people like Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
God knew that we were going to need all these different peacemakers that have come along, stepped out of nowhere, stepped out of boundaries that even sometimes startled themselves.
Right.
You know, it might be a peacemaker in a meeting. It might be a peacemaker in a family. It might be a peacemaker in a church or more than one. It might, you know, it's a peacemaker that God has given us. He's given us the ability to accept obedience and to show people to us who have got this message a little stronger and a little faster than most of us did.
Exactly. And it's all because God loves us, Carol. That's really yeah. the message of Christmas, is God's great love for us.
What God wants for us.
Yeah, it really is. John 3:16 has been on my heart all day. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, Christmas is about giving. For
yes.
God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. And that includes you and me. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about the love of God in our lives. That's what it's about.
before we started this program today, and as I walk around on Sundays that I'm on this show, I walk around and I listen or try to hear the Word of God and listen to it and listen to the different parallels that He puts in my mind and my soul and my heart. And I came to 3:16, John 3:16, and I thought, here we are again.
Really? You thought that today?
Time of giving,
yes.
The time of the season.
Yes.
And the time of the birth of an insignificant, at the point in time, little baby.
Right.
That came, you know, in a stable, in a lowly little place where they had no place else to go, and guaranteed that Mary's family wasn't too happy to say, hey, honey, come on in. Yes,
yeah.
Have this child here in our living
right.
room, you know? They weren't interested in that.
Right.
And yet He put them under the protection. God did. He put them under protection and had that baby delivered. It came as an innocent little tiny child and grew into the man over the 33 years that he lived, into the man that God had ordained him to be.
Right.
And the loss has hurt so many people. You know, certainly his parents were disturbed when he was crucified. His friends were just beaten up and so hurt they didn't know how to save him. And he kept saying to them, you can't save me. This is ordained.
That's right.
I must do this in order to save you.
Because Jesus is our salvation and He loves us. Listen to this song. I love this. Max Lucado, you love him, Carol. And Natalie Grant, For God So Loved.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Aren't you glad the verse doesn't read, for God so loved the rich, or for God so loved the famous, or for God so loved the Europeans, or the Africans, or the sober or successful, the young or the old? No. When we read John 3:16, we simply and happily read, for God so loved the world. How wide is God's love? Wide enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world? Then you are included in God's love. Oh, but surely there's a limit. Surely there has to be an end to His love. You'd think so, wouldn't you? But David the adulterer never found it. Paul the murderer never found it. Peter the liar never found it. When it came to life, they did hit bottom. But when it came to God's love, they never did. When asked to describe the width of His love, Jesus stretched one hand to the right and the other to the left and had them nailed in that position so you would know He died loving you.
Because of love, He left His throne and made this earth His home. He did it willingly for you.
Instead, it chose to stay upon the tree.
Praise God. It's all because of how much God loves us. Boy, that's a fantastic rendition of that song by Natalie Grant and Max Lucado. Dear one listening today, it is all about how much God loves you. If you are not certain right this moment that if you died, if you slipped into eternity tonight, would you be in the hands, in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? Or would you go to hell? I mean, what is your eternal destiny? If you are not sure right now that you would be in the arms of Jesus, then you need to pray this prayer as we pray it. And you need to make it yours and put faith with it and say, I choose to receive the love of God in my life that is going to change me forever. I choose to become a child of the living God. Carol, I'm going to ask you to repeat it as I pray it. And those of our listening audience out there that would like to pray along with you, please pray along with Carol as she repeats my words. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Okay, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you this moment.
I ask you this moment.
To forgive me for anything and everything.
To forgive me for anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done.
That I have ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I want to turn away from all sin in my life.
I want to turn away from all sin in my life.
I want to believe and I choose to believe.
I want to believe and I choose to believe.
That Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Jesus Christ is the only Son of God.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross for me.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross for me.
That he died for my sins and my sicknesses.
That he died for my sins and for my sicknesses.
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior.
And I invite him into my heart right now.
And I invite him into my heart right now.
By faith.
By faith.
And I become your child, mighty God.
And I become your child, mighty God.
And you are my Father.
And you are my Father.
And Jesus is my Savior.
And Jesus is my Savior.
From this moment on.
From this moment on.
For all eternity.
For all eternity.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
In Jesus' name, this I pray.
Woo! Praise God. Carol, I believe that there's at least one person out there on the airwaves that has prayed this prayer with us today. There may be multiple people, and we'll find out someday in heaven, you know?
Yes. And I would hope that the people that are listening today that have been touched by this and whose lives are being made manifest, that they can live victoriously with Jesus. I just prayed that they would take that message to someone else.
Yes.
That they know that needs that bit of hope, especially in this season when we're looking to the birth of this child.
Amen. Amen. It's all about the birth of Jesus, you know, and we get so caught up in all of the giving. But as we just played that song, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's great gift to us was that he provided a means for us to not have to wallow around in all of our crud forever, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to read something to you very quickly. Let's see. The one true Son of God who will, in his 33 years of his life, die for me, so that my sinful nature will be forgiven, and that I can rise with all of his children who will be called home at the sound of the golden trumpet blowing, the rush of the wind from the eastern sky blowing away the darkness of this world, and I shall join with the heavenly angels as we sing songs of praise and adoration to Jesus and his purple reign forever. We have been forever changed by the birth of this child in Bethlehem. And I, Carol, have definitely been changed by that birth.
Praise God. You must have written that.
I did.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Absolutely, we're changed by this birth. It's because of the birth of Jesus that we are able to invite people to have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's about obedience to him, you know?
And I wrote this today. I'd given Maxine a CD by Susan Boyle, the British singer.
Right.
And the first song, the first line says, and it's a spiritual Christmas-type album. It's her newest. And it says, "When it gets dark, we go home." And that's the first title of the song and the first words in the song. So it just came to me, and I quickly grabbed the paper, and here it comes. It says, "When life becomes so misdirected and confused, when we realize that we are truly lost, when chaos surrounds and storm clouds darken our lives, we go home, home on bended knees, hands folded in reverent prayer, spirit humbled and broken. We go home to the Father of our lives, seeking answers, peace, forgiveness, renewed hope, and strength. We go home."
Woo! Praise God. That is so good. Praise God.
And we do go home. Those of us that have lives that have been disruptive, those of us that have lived lives of hopelessness, those of us that live in poverty, and those of us throughout the world that don't have the opportunity to worship God the way that we would really like to because of situations in our world and the
right.
people and the areas that they are, we go home.
Amen.
We can put ourselves into a safe place.
Yes.
We can get away from the world and to the closet, as we're told, and to bend on bended knee.
Yes.
And we can go home. We can say, "Lord, save me. Lord,
Amen.
Bring me to you. Change my heart. Awaken my spirit. Give me the strength and the courage, and keep me fearless as I worship and praise and honor you with my life. And my life is dedicated to you from this moment forward."
Amen. And praise God. If you out there prayed that prayer with us, we'd love to hear from you. You can write me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Carol, you have a final thought, because the clock is winding down here in Clearwater.
I know, and the darkness is starting to fall up here in cold old Georgia.
But yeah, it is here,
a
too.
A final thought, you know, really falls to the fact that God loves us.
Yay. Amen.
He really wants our lives to change.
And, oh, did he love Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph and Zechariah? Even old Zechariah.
Yeah, because they were obedient.
Amen.
And they allowed his plan, his world plan, his life plan for everybody that he ever put on this earth to be able to return home to him.
Amen.
And to live eternally with him.
Exactly. Wow.
In peace and harmony.
Amen.
It's scary, isn't it?
It's
to
a wonderful
live in peace
story.
And harmony.
Amen. God with us, Emmanuel. So that's what it's all about. And God wants to live in you. Carol, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'll do the wrap up and talk to you later. You're a real blessing. And you're right, Carol, we'd love to hear from some of our listening audience. And they can write me directly at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or write our prayer line.
Let us know how their lives have changed.
Exactly. And the prayer line, would you give them that prayer address one more time?
Beacon of Hope Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen. And they can write it. Thanks, Carol. You're a blessing to so many. All right.
God bless.
So for each of you that have joined us today on the Living the Good Life, we are doing this because we believe that God has ordained it. God opened the door for this ministry here on this radio show and this radio station. We're getting ready to celebrate our 200th radio show in February, February 6th. You can be a part of this ministry. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can actually give a donation there on PayPal. And you can also listen to all the shows that we have already done, especially in 2010. And then there's others there from the last few years. And in the middle of the night when you can't sleep and you wake up and you, instead of turning on TV, you can get your laptop and you can listen to one of these shows and learn God's Word. It's all about learning God's Word. We also invite you to tell a friend or family member about the show, and we start on Sundays from 4 to 6 Tampa time on this radio station, 1340 AM in the Tampa Bay area, and on the web at www.tantalk1340.com. That's all about the show, about the church here in Clearwater. We are excited about what God is doing. We moved into a new location in June. God is blessing us and adding to our number. You are welcome to join us for a service. This Wednesday night will be our special Christmas Eve candlelight service that we have every year. It'll be on Wednesday night. And a candlelight service, a great time to get together and celebrate once more the birth of Jesus. 7 o'clock, 3700 Almerton Road is Beacon of Hope. We're right in the shopping center, right behind Five Guys, Pancheros, and a lot of nice restaurants. And so we welcome you to join us Wednesday night at 7 this week for our candlelight service.
And do not forget.
What?
Your book.
Oh, my book. Oh, my gosh, yes. All right. And yes, this is my third book. It's brand new. It's been out on Amazon, I think, 3 weeks now. Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. It's the story of my daughter and where she is right now in a minimum security prison in Indiana. And it's getting a lot of people commenting and crying all the way through it, Bill. They're crying all the way through it because it's a story that we have lived, her dad and I, with this addiction that has been a part of my daughter's life from the time she was 14 till now. She's about 34, so 20 years. And but God is doing a great work in that prison. We give God all the glory and the praise. You can order that book from us on beaconofhopeministries.com, or you could actually go to amazon.com to order it. But we would just as soon you order it from our website, and we'll give you free postage.
And one of your listeners out there who know of someone who has another wherever, and you'd like to get to be interviewed about your book, how do they go back to contact you if they like to get you on a show somewhere else?
We just had this happen on Monday. I was interviewed for a magazine. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Thanks for asking. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can get a hold of me personally. And also, if you want to book an event, a service where we talk about the book, that would be great. And you can just do all that through our website. So God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with my great friend, Carol, sharing the Word of God with you this day. And I hope it's been a blessing to you, because it certainly has been to us to be here on the air with you. And it is not far to Jesus. I love this closing song we use all the time. It's not far to Jesus, and Jesus is the reason for this season. God bless you. Have a great week.